A hostage negotiator trained to talk down armed criminals confessed something startling. The techniques that work in crisis situations completely fail at home. Marriage therapists preach active listening, yet research reveals a harsh truth. These methods collapse when emotions run high. Most couples can't maintain composure during heated arguments, and even those who master the technique see only temporary relief before old patterns resurface. This gap between what works professionally and what works personally exposes why understanding human connection remains so elusive. We've spent centuries developing theories about relationships, yet the science reveals we're often confidently wrong about the people closest to us. Grace Humiston, dubbed Mrs. Sherlock Holmes, was America's greatest detective in 1917. When police abandoned the search for missing Ruth Krueger, Grace, one of only 1,000 female lawyers in a country where women couldn't vote, discovered the teenager's body beneath a suspect's workbench. Yet Grace dismissed the deduction her nickname implied, crediting instead common sense and persistence. Her instinct was right. Criminal profiling is largely theatrical nonsense. Studies show college chemistry majors produce more accurate profiles than trained homicide investigators. UK data confirms profiling helps solve just 2.7% of cases. Yet 86% of psychologists involved in legal work believe it's effective. This delusion stems from the Barnum effect, combining generic statements with unverifiable claims that feel personally accurate. We correctly detect strangers' thoughts only 20% of the time, close friends 30%, and spouses peak at 35%. Yet we believe we understand others 82% of the time. Women have a slight 2% edge in reading nonverbal cues, not from biology, but motivation. When men learn empathy makes them more attractive, their accuracy improves. Since we can't significantly boost our reading abilities, we must make others more readable by creating contexts that encourage emotional openness. Humans have always struggled with lie detection. Polygraphs proved unreliable, and the Reed interrogation technique still generates false confessions. Canada and the UK abandoned it as coercive. Modern science offers something better. The high-value detainee interrogation group invested over $15 million researching effective techniques. Their conclusion? Be nice. The friendly journalist method builds rapport and gets suspects talking freely without accusation. The approach doesn't improve lie detection, it makes lying harder by applying cognitive load. Lying requires immense mental effort, maintaining a false narrative while appearing honest and monitoring reactions. Two powerful techniques emerge: asking unanticipated questions and strategically revealing evidence. Police typically detect lies 56% of the time, but those trained in strategic evidence use score 85.4%. The method requires patience, but proves far more effective than searching for mythical body language tells. First impressions predict election outcomes 70% of the time based on perceived competence alone. We form snap judgments about assertiveness, beauty, competence, likability, and trustworthiness in under 100 milliseconds. Judgments that are culturally consistent and surprisingly accurate, predicting personality traits 2/3 of the time. Yet they're flawed due to overgeneralization, judging downturned lips as unfriendly or strong jawlines as competent. We suffer from a bias blind spot, spotting prejudices in others while believing ourselves objective. First impressions become self-fulfilling prophecies through behavioral confirmation. If someone appears untrustworthy, we act guarded, prompting reserved responses that confirm our suspicion. Even contradicting evidence changes explicit impressions while gut reactions persist. To overcome confirmation bias, feel accountable by setting high bars before cementing opinions. Create distance by observing like an outsider, and consider the opposite by actively seeking contradicting evidence. Invest in making good first impressions since they endure and consciously give people second chances. Negative judgments lead us to avoid people, creating fewer correction opportunities, especially in workplaces where initial negativity might unfairly limit opportunities. Standing sockless in sub-zero temperatures during the Korean War, Hector Cofferata faced hundreds of enemy soldiers. His buddy Kenneth Benson was blinded by a grenade, the rest wounded. For 5 hours, Hector held off a regimental-sized force, firing until his rifle overheated, batting grenades with a shovel, racing through enemy fire. Benson, still blind, loaded bullets by feel and handed them over at each empty click. When asked why he risked everything, Hector gave the same answer as other Medal of Honor recipients: "They were killing my friends." Friendship appears in 395 of the 400 most studied cultures. Americans average 4 close relationships, 2 being friends. Those with 5 or more confidants are 60% more likely to report being very happy. Time with friends generates happiness equivalent to earning an extra $97,000 annually. Loneliness affects health like smoking 15 cigarettes daily. Breast cancer patients with 10 close friends had quadruple the survival rate of those with none. What defines true friendship? Aristotle nailed it: a friend is another self. Brain scans show that when women hear close friends' names, the same regions activate as when hearing their own names. A friend becomes part of you, which is why losing them feels like losing part of yourself. True friendship requires costly signals that can't be faked. Time is the first. Spending an hour daily with someone limits how many close friends you can have. Research shows new friendships need significant investment: 60 hours for light friendship, 100 hours for regular friendship, 200 plus hours for best friendship. Rituals ensuring contact every 2 weeks help maintain these bonds. Vulnerability is the second signal. Trying to impress backfires, while sharing weaknesses builds trust. Studies show trust creates trust. By being vulnerable first, you signal trustworthiness. Arthur Aaron's research proved strangers could become close in 45 minutes through structured self-disclosure. The beautiful mess effect shows we overestimate how negatively others judge our vulnerabilities. The scary rule: if it scares you, say it. For every 10 friends gained, we gain one enemy. More problematic are frenemies, ambivalent relationships that increase anxiety and blood pressure more than outright enemies due to unpredictability. These correlate with depression and heart disease, yet comprise half our social connections. Narcissists represent a particular challenge because they don't include others in their sense of self. Before the 1800s, loneliness simply meant being alone. The Romantic movement, particularly Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, 1818, transformed it into miserable isolation. Modern research reveals loneliness isn't about physical isolation. Lonely people spend as much time with others as non-lonely people, but about meaningful connection quality. A groundbreaking economic study valued better social relationships at $131,232 per year in happiness terms, more than doubling one's income. Loneliness dramatically increases depression risk and harms physical health through stress hormones, inflammation, and compromised immunity. Harvard studies show good relationships can add a decade to lifespan, equivalent to quitting smoking. Yet social trust collapsed from 77% of Americans trusting others in 1964 to just 24% by 2012. Despite media reports of chaos after disasters, research shows humans respond with altruism. When threatened collectively, people sacrifice willingly because they feel needed. Paradoxically, during wars and disasters, psychiatric admissions decline and people report feeling happier. Modern society has perfected the art of making people not feel necessary. In 1866, 16 Hawaiian lepers were exiled to Molokai with minimal supplies. When ships returned, the healthy had cared for the sick, repaired huts, planted crops, everyone survived. Belonging directly causes meaningfulness. The solution is creating stories that unite us. Recognizing connection isn't just what makes us happy, it's what makes us human.